I still need to grow a couple inches to make these pants work. You like that, don't you? What can I say? So I've had an eventful couple of weeks. I'm sure some of you, if you pay attention to what's going on in life and the world, there was a firefighter that was killed in the line of duty in Weatherford, Texas. And I've kind of dealt with that for a couple of weeks just with the training that I have and what I do as a chaplain. And this past Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I made myself available to help talk with the guys, and that was kind of cool. And but the cool thing about it is, out of the whole thing, trying to help them cope with losing one of the brothers. And for those of you who aren't real familiar with the fire department, it is a brotherhood. I don't know if you saw any of the. There were people from all over the state, firefighters, police as well. And in fact, Tiffany, who is my daughter-in-law, who's a police officer in Weatherford, she was carrying the flag. I mean, it is a huge deal. They are a real brotherhood. But the funny thing is they're like a church family, if you will. Whether that's got God in it or not, it's not the point. The point is, in meeting with them, there was a common theme that I actually realized that I think is a common theme for all of us. And I want to expose it today so that we can understand who Jesus is. And that common thing is the burden of perfection. And the reason I want to say that is just in an FYI, and this is the negative side of life, but it's also something that needs to be addressed. Suicide rate among young people has really risen. In fact, while I was in Weatherford, we had a 20-year-old young lady that took her own life in this city. And I promise you, I firmly believe it's because of what I'm talking about, this burden of perfection. So what I mean by that, it's the struggle to perform and to please and to prove our value. Jesus dealt with this with the people that he loved. He really did. And we all know this scripture, but here I want you to see it so that we can understand it a little bit better. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens." That word burden is an interesting word. It literally means unwarranted precepts, laws, commands. He wasn't talking about work here. In fact, if you study the word says if you don't work, you don't eat, right? So get off your lazy rear end, get a job. Don't wait for God to do something. You get it? Okay. That's just a side note. Then come to me, all you weary and carry heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest. Great word there. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you. Take my yoke. Let me teach you. Take my yoke, he said. Let me teach you. Because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. By the way, the top word, heavy burdens, those of you who carry heavy burdens, it's the identical word of the, it's the verb, the top one is the verb of the one Jesus is saying of the noun in the burden at the bottom. In other words, those of you who are in the midst of carrying this heavy load of weight that people have placed upon you, and then you get to the bottom, he says, so take my noun, my burden. What does that say? He's got one burden, and it's the yoke of love. We dealt a little bit with it last week. Let's keep going here. So here, Jesus wasn't talking about work here. Work is central to our life. In fact, we should all work hard, or we'll become soft and self-serving, like ice cream. Jesus was talking about laying down the burden of perfection. It's planted in our past through our family. It's planted through our job. When we have not been good, listen, it's planted in the church. That's where we get it. But I want to expose something today, because we're talking about legalism. And every time you hear the word legalism, you immediately think of the church. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to inform you, legalism is what the world uses, and it has gotten into the church, yes. Do you hear what I'm saying? So when I say legalism, it's not necessarily, well, it is about heavy-handed preaching and all that, but it's bigger than that. It's what's causing, wreaking havoc in our world, because the world has put these expectations on us that are much heavier and much heavier than anything the church has ever even got to, because the church just has used it in some kind of sneaky way with the Bible. So It's been planted in us. Perfection drives us to measure up, to perform, to please and to prove to others our value and our worth, and it justifies our existence. And if we can't get that type of approval, our existence is not justified, so we take our own life. How's that for straight up? And I'm wanting to be straight up today. I'm wanting you to hear the heaviness of it, because I got some good news for you, the euangelion of the gospel, and that's Jesus. And it's legit. He's legit. People, I had somebody, again, during my whole conversations when I was in Weatherford, one guy's asked, man, all these people are killing it. You know, like that Bourdain guy killed himself, and who was the other one that... Yeah, the lady, she killed herself, and the bottom line is because there's no hope. If you have no hope, if you don't have something to believe in, why bother? It's not about money, ladies and gentlemen. And this is where the rubber meets the road today. Do you hear what I'm saying? We are in what's breaking your heart, Shannon, is you know, when you say we need to get up, the truth is we need to get up and love people. And prove to them that there is no perfection to be found other than in Christ. That we're completely horribly awful, but He's completely awesomely good. And if we hang with Him, we're cool forever. That's our hope. Our hope is not found in anything we can do. So when we've got all the money in the world and we've got everything, there's still, if we don't have Jesus, and this isn't a crutch, ladies and gentlemen. This isn't something... That's why I have no problem talking about Him. He's changed my life. And I ain't nothing to hide. Ain't nothing for me to prove. You can look at me and say, you're a terrible Christian. You are exactly right. I am. It's not about me. It's about Him. Just whatever. Whatever. Knock yourself out. So, again, perfection drives us to measure up. And this is the heavy burden that Jesus was talking about to these people when they were listening to Him that day, and they knew exactly what He meant. We have forever just taught it like, you know, He was talking about the heaviness of religion. But listen to me, religion is religion. There's Islam religion, there is Christian religion, and it can be just as evil. Because Islam says you've got to do this. Christianity, if you don't believe in the truth of the euangelion, which is the gospel of Jesus, you've got to do this to get to heaven. It's no difference, guys. And the world has created this monster, but they don't tag God to it. Oh, man. So watch this. This heavy burden Jesus was talking about. Here's the scripture He used. Because this is the people He was talking to. It says, and Jesus said to the crowds and to His disciples, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees are the official interpreters of the law of Moses. Practice and obey what they're telling you, but don't follow their example. They don't practice what they teach. They crush people with unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to ease the burden. Let me give you a great example of that in the world. In the world. Instead of in the church. This whole thing, I don't know if you saw this, and this is a political thing, but I've got to expose it. Sarah Huckabee, whatever the president, the girl that talks, the press secretary. So they booted her out of a restaurant yesterday, and she left, not a deal. Well, then everybody, of course, you know, everybody says, got their opinion. So they're all saying, well, it's no different than the baker and the homosexual, one. You know what I'm saying? Where the Supreme Court said that he didn't have to do the survey. And it's, listen to me. They're exactly correct. They're exactly correct. It's identical. This is, we have the right to refuse service. You get it. So they have the right to refuse service to Sarah because she's President Trump's talk girl. And the baker had the right to refuse service because it was a homosexual couple. The difference is not in that, ladies and gentlemen. The difference is in the reaction to it. It's the difference between entitlement, hear me, entitlement and character. Sarah and her family chose to walk out and go find another place to eat. This couple could have done the same thing, found someplace where... Don't tell the lie that we care when we really don't. Don't tell that lie. Don't walk in that lie. Don't believe that lie. Because the truth is, it's all about Jesus. And the truth is, it's all about His love. And the truth is, I don't give a rip what gender we have determined that we are. Most places, by the way, we've been to New York City recently, and you go into those places, and there will be a sign that says, it literally says this. In fact, if you look at St. James's Theater, you can pull it up online. There's a sign that says, whatever you're most comfortable with gender-wise, pick that bathroom to use. I have no problem with that. Listen to me. I really don't. Because it's a bathroom. It's a 5-minute bathroom break. My problem is our attitude and our dumping of trying to get people to be perfect. I perfectly make mistakes. I'm perfect at it. But that's all I'm perfect at. That was not in my notes. Yeah. All right, we used to have a lady there, she would say, shake that bush, Pastor, and see what falls out. So if you found something that fell out, you saw it. There it is. Y'all can have it. So they crush people with unbearable religious demands. Never lift a finger to ease the burden. And immediately we throw that into the church. I'm here to tell you that this is absolutely what we love to talk about is legalism. And it is the hugest burden that is in this country. And it is killing folks because nobody's got enough understanding to just say, hey, there is an answer. And it ain't what your opinion is. It's truth. Well, I want facts. I want truth. We all have facts. You know what's so funny? I was watching this. You know the Facebook fights, right? Where they do the Facebook fights, and they're deciding on which fact checker is the right one. And it's like that just tickles me because anybody can say they're a fact checker. In fact, the only thing I've ever posted on anything like that was I posted a picture, and it said you can't believe everything that is said on the internet. And I signed it Abraham Lincoln with his face. Here's what happens. Watch this. We have been made worldly by legalism. And Jesus came to set us free from that. We no longer fear or stand in awe of God. Here's what's happened in our country. Because that's the only country I know of right now. We no longer fear and stand in awe of God. We fear the culture and the opinion of the religious and our family or our friends. Ladies and gentlemen, I feared my granddad. My granddad's a preacher. He wrote a little small book, cool book called From the Steel to the Pulpit. My granddad was a moonshiner. Seriously, prior to when he came to know Jesus and became a preacher. He was the scariest hellfire and brimstone preacher I've ever been around. I'm telling you the truth, man. And back in those days, that's who God was to me. You've read my book. You've heard me talk about the 800,000-pound eyeball that God is, ever searching the earth to see me do one thing wrong so He can squash me like a bug and send me to hell. I got that whole thought. Now, my granddad never said it that way. But good Lord, man, I'd be sitting there. I'd have to go to the bathroom. And I'd get up to go to the bathroom. He'd be where you going, kid? Oh my God, I'm going to sit right here and wet right here in this pew. Thank God that was before pews had covers on it. You know, it's just wood. Man, he scared me to death. There was no, and he was only doing what he had understood. I get that, and I'm not throwing rocks at him, but I'm being honest today. This is how this thing happens. So the rules today are just as elaborate. Listen to me, and I'm talking about the rules of the world, not just the church. The rules today are just as elaborate as the Torah. And the Talmud, let me give you a little history just quickly. The Torah, basically 24 books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, which are the first five books that Moses wrote, just in case you didn't know that, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Moses wrote those. That's called the Pentateuch in Greek anyway. And then the others. So that's the word that the Jewish community have. Well, then the Talmud was the rabbis who had an oral, because they didn't have the Talmud written at the beginning. So it was the oral tradition, if you will, which incorporated 613 laws that were in the Talmud, which is the Jewish, the Bible. I mean, in the Torah. So, but here's, listen, 613 in the Old Testament, in the Torah, in the Talmud, again, was the oral thing. So here's what I want you to understand. Today, here's the rules of the world, which are pretty similar to the rules. The Talmud and the Torah got nothing on what the world has created, because the rules say how thin we're supposed to be and what circles we should run in and how much money we should make and how many perks we should show off and what location we should live in and what values we should tolerate. This is the world trying to make you perfect in their understanding. So our salvation has become how we measure up to one of them. And that's how we win our acceptance and we win our approval. And again, if we don't win their acceptance, win their approval, and we don't get enough Facebook likes and we don't get enough Instagram, whatever, you get what I'm saying. If that doesn't happen, and we're all scratching our head going, why are people doing this? Listen to me, man. There's no hope in this. So teens, here's what happened with the teenagers. Teens seem to be ready to sell their soul to do, to ingest, to wear, and to talk whatever is necessary to win approval, which is their salvation. Listen to me. I just wrote this underneath. Don't throw rocks. They're simply a reflection of adult society. So don't be throwing rocks at our kids, man. They're only just watching what we do. Good Lord. And I'm not being old school here. I'm not. I'm giving you as much bad news as I can. I've told you a billion times because it's true. Until we recognize how ugly and bad we are, we're never going to need the Savior. Half the gospel is how ugly we are. Man, it's ugly right now, ain't it? No, man, you're making me want to kill myself. I get it. So it's sad that we work so hard at being perfect. And I'm talking outside the church, guys. It's so sad that we work so hard at being perfect and it doesn't work. And we're never going to produce that unconditional acceptance that we want. And then I wrote a quote and decided to just show you the quote so you can have the quote, take a picture of the quote, write the quote. Expecting the world to treat you fairly, reward you, honor you, and affirm you because you're a good person is like expecting a bull not to attack you because you're vegetarian. The bull doesn't care and neither does the world, is what the rest of that says. Do you get it? Well, I don't eat the bull. He's going to attack you anyway. You really think that you can somehow fit into this society? You cannot. There's nothing to fit into. But I've got something dynamic to help you with, and that is the hope that's in Jesus. And it's the truth. Jesus is the bearer of the burden. I'm calling this the burden. This thing where the world pushes us to perfection. And listen, it's been this way for a while, and I'm almost grateful that social media has come around to expose it, because it has been exposed. Now the question is, how do we do it? So Jesus says, I'll give you rest. Well, what is this rest that he's offering us from this striving and the burden of this perfection? What is this rest? It's the rest that his love and grace affirms us just as we are, no matter how the day has gone or how anyone else feels about us, no matter what the achievements and the failures of life are. Guys, let's be brutally honest here. Our strength is our pride. We take pride in our strength. Our failures are our guilt. And our weirdness is because we're weird. I did write that. However, here's the however, here's the awesome. We are all loved and accepted by him. This rest from perfection is found in grace, in the grace of God in Jesus. Salvation is the word sozo, and it's total wholeness in all areas, not just your ticket to heaven. Salvation comes through grace, and this rest Jesus offers comes through understanding and believing it. It's that simple. And thank God I got there about 15 years ago. I did, finally. Because I wouldn't have made it otherwise. But by the way, just what I just told you, this angers religious people. This angers religious people. For me to say that it's all about Jesus loving you right where you are angers religious people because they want to put the heavy burden of perfection on you, because they want to be better than you, because they want to look nicer than you. And that is the heaviness of what religion does. And I'm talking about religion not just in the church, but outside the church. That's your friends, and that's the so-called friends that are all over you concerning anything that you're doing, wrong, right, or indifferent, according to their opinion of life. Oh, but listen. Now we get to the happy part. So remember, I've told you a million times, never leave a church service feeling worse than when you came in, right? So if I released you right now, you would leave here feeling worse than when you came in. But I have good news for you, and my wife loves it because it's the Word. And the Word is the most important thing you'll ever have. And let me tell you something. I have an old professor, and it was brilliant what he said, and I've hung on to it forever. He says, if the Bible screams it, scream it. If the Bible speaks softly, speak softly. If the Bible doesn't say anything much about it, then shut up. Just an FYI, the Bible talks more about overeating than it does about drinking, just so you know. But I'm going to tell you something. The Bible shouts about the goodness of God. We've just never let it happen. We've always just hung in the dark side of the Bible, in the ugly side of the Bible, so that we can feel better about ourselves, so I can make you feel guilty and bad, so that you'll somehow line up, because I'm the preacher and you're not. That's what I love about Jesus. We are so equal, it's amazing. I'm telling you, it's amazing. It's freeing. John, as much as you think it, he doesn't love me more than he loves you. Steve, as much as I think it, God doesn't love John more than he loves me. Get it? Those of you who think you're all that in a bag of chips, give it up. You're not. He is. All of you who are just all like, man, he didn't love. No, stop. He loves you, man. He loves you, dude. What's your name? Is it okay if I do this? Don't matter. I just did it. What's your name?
Chris.
Yes, sir. Well, I just want you to know, your background has been in an interesting area. This is the stuff the Lord shared with me. Okay, I'm just being kind. What I'm saying in general, you're absolutely getting really deep, and that's good. Because what is the coolest thing for me is, it's not an accident you plopped in here today. Okay? And it's not an accident you're sitting back here. Because you have been hurt in areas like this several times. And so the Lord's like, watch this. You are loved, and you are accepted, and you are valuable, and you have more worth than you believe in your heart. For God to take time to manipulate, he didn't manipulate, but to maneuver you into this position and maneuver me into this position with this message and to stop time. Wow. Value is only found in what we're willing to pay for it. I just bought a pickup truck, sticker 37. But I paid 22. So what's the value of the truck? 22. Plus I got a good friend. Okay? Because value is only found in what the price is willing, that the buyer is willing to pay. Jesus bankrupted heaven for you. Wow! What's your name, Chris? Is that what you said, Chris? You know what your name means, right? You know, it's the base word of Christ. Yeah. Well, even if it was by accident, it's not, because it's on purpose. And that lady sitting next to you really does love you, whether you believe it or not. There's so much to say, Chris, but we got to... They just kissed right there. Go ahead, man. I love it. I love our church. I just want you to know I love our church. Someone that came here, I don't think they're still here. Maybe they are. But the cool thing is they wrote on an offering envelope, so they gave money. So just so you know, anytime you give money, you have the right to say whatever you want. But on the offering envelope, it said, "This church kicks A," with an exclamation point. "I love it," with an exclamation point. I, just so you know, posted that on Facebook so I could have some people unfriend me. But we do, buddy. We kick. Okay. Oh, word, the word, the word. Watch the word, man. The word's scary. I'm going to show you some word right here. Put this in your heart. Memorize stuff. Here we go. Rock and roll. Word. But our high priest, Jesus, offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. And there he waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet. And by that one offering, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. The world tells you to be perfect. You can't be perfect, but he's perfect. Word. I'm just going word, man. For the law was given through Moses. Ha, but God's grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Yeah, word. I'm just going crazy today. This is Paul speaking, don't treat the grace of God as meaningless. For if keeping the law could make me right with God, then there's no need for Christ to die. Word. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loves us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. And it's only by God's grace that you've been saved, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ, and he seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we're united with Christ. That's where rest is, in seating, not in doing. You get it? He said, come to me, all you that labor and have this monstrous burden of people that are putting expectations on you that you can't reach, and I will give you a place to sit down. And you can sit down and shut up, and it don't matter what they say. Really. Word. For the law always brings punishment on those who try to obey it. Why? Because the only way to avoid breaking the law is to have no law to break. Word. Obviously, the law applies to those whom it's given, for its purpose is to keep people from having excuses and to show that the entire world is guilty before God. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. That's all the law was for. That's all the law is for. It's the mirror so that I can see how ugly I am, so I can look at the mirror and I see the ugliness in the mirror, and I do one of two things. I change and start looking at Jesus, or I walk away from the mirror. Man, it's awesome. That's why the law is perfect. Listen to me. That's why people that come against my teaching drive me nuts, because they tell me I'm saying the law is bad. It's not bad. It's perfect. It's perfect. It's good. There's nothing you can change to make it any better. The problem is not the law. The problem is you and me. That's why we don't like it, because we don't want the problem to be us. Word. I've got a little word here. For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through Jesus. Do you hear what that says? Well, man, I'm sinning. You got victory over sin? What, through Jesus? You got no victory over sin in yourself. You can't do it. It's impossible. But you got victory over sin in Jesus. Well, what do you mean in Jesus? What do you mean in focus on Jesus? Quit focusing on your sin. Focus on Jesus. Quit focusing on your self-righteousness. Focus on Jesus. Because there's cactus and cacti, but there's not focus and foci. I don't think. There probably is. Somebody's going to come back to me and say, well, you know what? I Googled it. Well, why? You know, Google's not God, ladies and gentlemen. Oh. Word. I think I still got more word. I went word crazy this week. I just can't help it. I just went word crazy. Here it is. Sin is no longer your master. What? Well, then why is it master to me? It's no longer your master. Why is it master? Well, it's no longer your master. For you no longer live under the requirements of the law. You're the one that is, the reason sin is your master is because you're trying to do the law. You can't do the law. Recognize that you fought the law and the law won. I think I'll write a song. Instead, live under the freedom of God's grace. What does that mean? The freedom of God's undeserved and unmerited favor. What does that mean? Because if you walk under the freedom of knowing there's nothing you can do to get where you think you need to go, you're going to get there without even worrying about it. You start from tetelestai. This is where Jesus said, it is finished. From that finished position is how you do life. You're not pursuing Him. The Bible says, you didn't pick me, I picked you. Wow. This is totally anti anything you've ever heard in church, and I don't care anymore. I just decided instead of worrying about the church thing, I'm going to just do the Word thing. You know, if you read the Word, and I'm reading the Word, and I've had people, by the way, not this church, but another church, I'm reading straight out of the Bible, and they stood up offended and walked out telling the people around them, it doesn't say that in the Bible. Well, I'm reading it in the Bible. Is that not nowadays? For real, man. The kids got cookie chips and crumbs all over their face, chocolate all over their face. You've been in the cookie jar? No. Oh, you haven't? Wow. Where am I at? That was, give me some more word, man. I think I got two more. Yeah, here we go. Brothers, listen. You sisters, too. We are here. This was Paul and them in Acts. They were rattling the cage. Jesus had raised from the dead. I love Acts. I need to do a whole teaching on it. Because this is all new stuff. I mean, this Jesus guy rattled their cages. And now these guys are healing folks like Jesus did. So it's kind of, it just got everybody messed up. So they said, brothers, listen, we're here to proclaim that through this man Jesus, there's forgiveness for your sins. Everyone who believes in him is declared right with God. Everyone who believes in Jesus is declared right with God. Everybody who believes is declared. You ain't righteous. You'll never be righteous. The word says your righteousness is as filthy as rags, but you are declared righteous because of what Christ did, not what you did. Because of the one who was perfect, took on our imperfection so that when we're looked at, our imperfection is perfect. Let me say it this way. The one who was sinless took my sin. The one who was sinless took my sin. So that the one who is full of sin is viewed as being sinless. So that when God looks at the cross, he doesn't see Jesus, he's gone. When God looks at the cross, he sees me. But when he looks at me, he sees Jesus. Holy smoke. How cool is that? So when the world tells me I've got to line up with being skinny here and doing this and doing that, no, shut up. I am loved by one that is much greater than you. You know, and you know what? Yes, he loves me. Oh, yes, he loves me. Well, you know, we got to worry about global warming. Well, just tell God to cool it down a little bit. I think every time we decide we're God like that, whether it's global warming or global cool, whatever. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but pay attention. When there's a big row on it, there's going to be some scientist somewhere that goes, well, you know, really for the last 12 years, that iceberg's been melting or it's been growing. Like when the whole global warming, the iceberg kept growing. I know it's God just being funny. You know, look at those guys. Man, they think global warming. Watch it. Jesus, watch this. Over here by Alaska. Look at that. Let's see how they explain that. So then they'll go, well, you know, it late. And this is now the theme for real, because there's like a 2,000-year period where they're saying it was just laid dormant now. Because you got to come up with something. Anyway, just silliness. But here's what's important. Everybody who believes in him is declared right with God, something that the law of Moses could never do. And it could never do that. Why? The law of Moses was awesome. The law, again, I told you, was perfect. The law pointed out everything, didn't it? Man, there's a whole full chapter on leprosy and how you got to react and how you got to do it and all this kind of stuff. But not one place in the law did it show you how to get rid of leprosy. It pointed out, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and spirit. It pointed that out. It pointed out that you cannot commit murder, but it didn't give you a way to put love in your heart. Well, that's why he says something the law of Moses can do. One last scripture until I'm towards the end. This was just a block of scripture because it jumped in my gizzard. Gizzard, you know what a gizzard is, right? Chicken gizzard, you ever eaten them? Not taste. Do you really love them? You're a sick man. All right. Here you go. But now God, now that Christ is done, man, thank you, Jesus. But now God has shown us a way to be made right with him. Please, that's what we all want. Without keeping the requirements of the law, yay, I can sin all I want. Yes, this is what I want. I want to know how to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law. As was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God by placing our belief, our pistis faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everybody who believes, no matter who we are, and I put even firefighters, because this was Steve's running theme this week. Because when you're in a fire department, there is expectations, and it does seem of perfection. And in any job situation, even in family situations, we're going to see this happen. But I want you to see something that's very powerful. No matter who you are, no matter where you're at, no matter what the world is telling you you've got to do, no matter how you feel like you've got to get X amount of likes on Facebook, and I always say Facebook because that's really the only one I'm not with all the men. There's so many of them now. I don't even get them. Instagram, what is that? It's an instant picture, I guess. You know, and so now I'm going to show how old I am. Oh, you're so old. Well, let me just tell you, how old is Gemma? 4? Dude, she knows my phone better than me. She'll take my phone and put a picture on the front, and I don't even know how to put a picture on there. These children are amazing. I read an article. 92% of two-year-olds know how to use an iPhone. 92% of two-year-olds. I'm telling you, genetically, thumbs are going to be this big in about 10 years. And bellies are going to be still Buddha bellies because nobody's getting outside to play. You know what I'm saying? Well, anyway. Here's the bottom line, boys and girls. And then we're close to the end here. Under the law, and when I say law, listen, it's not just Ten Commandments. It's not just the Old Testament law. I'm not talking about government law. I'm talking about the law of the opinion of man, who has, all mankind has determined how we're supposed to do things and do life. Under law, the burden is on you to perform, right? Under grace, the burden is on what Christ has already performed on the cross. Get it? I'll say it again. Under law, the burden is on you to perform and get it right and do everything that everybody decides you need to do. But under grace, unmerited, undeserved favor, we did not deserve what Jesus did. Holy smoke, we didn't deserve it. God should have squashed us all like a bug and started over. You're fortunate I'm not God. Because that's what I would have had to kill me too, though. So, Jesus gives us rest from the burden of trying to be somebody that we can never be. Perfect. We can never be perfect. And I've told you the story a billion times about my little daughter Charity when she was little bitty, and Leah, they're little bitty, and Charity was a strong personality. She's the oldest child. If you all that had oldest child, you understand it. She knew everything. She's better now, but then she knew everything. And Leah's the middle child, and anyway, Charity just gave Leah some kind of instructions, and Leah looked at her and goes, "Charity, you think you're perfect?" And Charity looked at her, and this is pretty wise. Charity is probably maybe 6. Looks at her and goes, "I am perfect, Leah. I make perfect mistakes." She really said that, and I stole it from her and preached it ever since and act like I made it up. She had a grip on that. So Jesus gives us rest from the burden of trying to be somebody we can never be. That's perfect. So then, here's the question that I hope is in your heart. So what is this burden that Jesus gives me? See, Jesus doesn't replace the burden of the law with another list of do's. He replaces the do's and don'ts with the security of His love, with the gentleness of His compassion, and with the tenderness of His forgiveness. Amen. And when our lives are full of that, we're free to do His commands, which is to find others that are hurting and help carry their burden that I just exposed, that I just talked about. So don't sit here and lick your wounds and go, "Yay, Steve, so glad you told me that." Stop it. Find those people who want to take their own life because people are putting the burden on them of trying to be perfect, and help them to see that right where they're at, I don't care if they're in the middle of smoking a joint or shooting a dope in their arms, God loves you right now, right here, nothing else. Amen. No expectations of change. Oh, they'll change. Yeah, they'll change, but they'll change because of the greatness of one who loves them more than anybody could love them and has no expectations, but just like for God so loved the world that He gave His Son, that whoever believes, quit adding to that, folks. Jesus didn't even go into the verse 17 that we never listened to, and He said, "I didn't come into the world to condemn it. I left that up to John to condemn." No. I didn't come to the world to condemn. I didn't come to get saved. And then if you go to the next verse after that, and He says, the world's already condemned because they don't believe. But we just don't do that. So, sorry, let me get back to my last thing I said. And when our lives are full of that, full of Jesus, we're free to do his commands and find other people who are hurting and help them carry the burden. The Apostle Paul, what a great man of God he was. He understood this. Right here. Right here. So, brethren, Paul says, even if anybody's caught in a trespass, even if, you know why he said that? Do you remember when they took the woman that was caught in the very act of adultery? Boy, they didn't want her to have wholeness, did they? No, they drug her to Jesus, didn't they? Look, we caught her in the very act. And I've got to believe, even though it's not in the Bible, Jesus said, well, what were you doing there to see it? Huh, Mr. Holy Man? How come you saw that? We caught him in the very act. We caught her in the very act. And then Jesus starts writing in the ground, and I have a whole sermon I did on that because I believe he started writing. I believe he started writing the Ten Commandments. I really do. And I believe every time he wrote one, they saw where they were failing. And then they remember the story. They all dropped the rocks. And you know the whole end result of that. What did he say? Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. He didn't say go and sin no more and then I won't condemn you, because that's what the church has done for years. You straighten up and act right and then we will take you in and love you. He said, I don't condemn you, kid. Quit wreaking havoc. He didn't say quit wreaking havoc. I won't condemn you. Now, here's what's so ironic in that, just so you know. You'll have people who have done really, 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 really bad stuff. And I don't care that they've done really, really bad stuff, so I love them anyway. But somehow in their little warped thinking, they'll think that I'm justifying what they're doing. You get what I'm saying? Oh, well, he loves me, therefore I can do what I do. Which is so funny, because how many times have you heard me say, because it's true, I will love you, but I'm not going to hell with you. I'm free in that. So I'm going to love you. That isn't just... What it does in most is help them sense and see and know that Jesus really does love you right where you're at. Holy smoke, how cool is that? We have been seeking in life our whole lives to find somebody that would just love me for who I am without having to change a thing. And there he is. There he is saying, I love you, kid. I chose you. You didn't pick me. You're my pearl of great price. I gave my whole life for you. I just want to hold you. He didn't want to punish. I always thought he wanted to punish me first. You know, God, here, grab the ankles. What do you want me to do? Just go ahead. Give me the life. I deserve it. I deserve it. I deserve his punishment. But grace says no, because it's undeserved, unmerited, unearned. I can't wrap my brain around it. But I do love him. So watch this. So brethren, if any of you are caught in a trespass, even if anybody's caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, that means you who belong to the Holy Spirit, if you know Jesus, if you've accepted Christ in your life and you believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit resides in you, and that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of you. So that's who he's talking to. That means anybody who really is a believer. So he says, those of you, it's not those who are spiritual, like, oh, spiritual, I am more important than you, therefore you can glean tidbits of wisdom from my conversation to you, and hopefully God will accept you. Stop it. Those of you who know Jesus, he says, restore, which literally means to equip, strengthen, and repair. So brethren, if anybody's caught in a trespass, which by the way, a trespass, sin, is missing the mark, doing something stupid. If anybody's caught doing something, can we, anybody in here, say, I've done something stupid in the last 24 hours? Thank you very much. Because some of you go, well, I got to think back. No, you don't. No, you don't. But restore them, equip them, strengthen them, repair them, restore them with a spirit of gentleness, which literally means considerate, selfless humility. You restore people with gentleness, not by posting their stuff online or by putting it in the newspaper or by preparing a sermon to... The sermon's on the evils of drugs, because I know somebody did drugs last week. So I need to... The law gives sin its power. You're struggling with drugs. You come into the church service. I teach on drugs. You go out and do more drugs. Why? Because the law gives sin its power. That's why I had just a couple weeks ago... Guy comes up to me and says, hey, man, I'm really interested in this kind of this thought and this teaching. Would you ever consider teaching it? And I'm honest now. I said, no, I won't. And it kind of shocked him because I was just so honest. You know, you normally say, well, let me pray about it. I'm going to pray about it. And here's exactly what I said. I said, no, I won't, because I'm just going to talk about Jesus. And I'm going to talk about Jesus and talk about Jesus and talk about Jesus and talk about Jesus. And then after that happens, I think I'm going to do a sermon series on Jesus. And then I'm going to do Jesus and then Jesus and Jesus. But then before that and after that, probably Jesus. Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. Because incorporated in Jesus is where truth and love is. Incorporated, did you know, in all honesty, and I'm going to tell you something very clearly. This is really kind of cool. I've had several that struggle with their gender issues. They got gender issues. You know, gender issues. That sounded like, that felt like that was on Saturday Night Live for a second. But I have never, and those of you who've been here, I have never, ever, 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 ever taught on gender issues, ever. But yet, I've got folks who are in my life that are completely, totally been set free from gender issues, not because of my teaching, but because of my love, not because of my opinion. Let me tell you something. We can all have an opinion, and the Word gives us good opinion. I get that, and there is truth in the Word. But the bottom line, and we all know the bottom line, because Mr. Rainbow Head used to put it on TV all the time, for God did so love the world that He really did give His Son, that really whoever does believe will not perish but have everlasting. That is really true. Yes, there's stuff, there's listen, man, there is consequences. Don't get me wrong, and this is what I love about God. You know, for instance, here's a great one. This is going to hit some of you. I mean, come on, there's all of us. No, well, I haven't, but a ton of us have been divorced and stuff, and the enemy just crams that in our brains and stuff. Let me tell you something. You know, because you're going to have the Bible says, and it does, it says in Malachi, God hates divorce. Yes, He does. He does. Yeah, of course He does. You know why He hates divorce? Get a life here, people. He hates divorce because of what it does to His kids. He doesn't want His kids hurt. God hates drugs. Yes, He does. Why? Look what it does. Every ounce of Him is about His kids and how He loves them. Every ounce. That's why He hates it. That's why He hates it. The enemy wants to tell you He hates it because you're bad. No, He hates it because of what it does. Man, it's as human as we are with our own family and our own children, get it? We would never get to that point that we think God is concerning us. We would as dumb as our kids, they could die of a drug overdose. Does that change anything of our love for them? No. All right, I'm almost done. So, in a spirit of gentleness, each one of you look to yourself so that you won't be tempted to. Because when we think we're going to bring in correction, it's so arrogant. Come on, go back to the Jimmy Swaggart days, guys. When Jim Baker and just did all that mess up, Jimmy Swaggart's on the TV saying that he's a cancer in the body of Christ, and the whole time he's going to prostitutes. You get what? And I'm not throwing him under the bus. I love him with all my heart, and I mean that. What I'm saying is, come on, don't play that game. Just love. So, otherwise you'll be tempted. Now, bear. Here's what I love, what this word bear. This word bear one another's burdens. Bear. Carry the full weight of, sustain, and defend. We bear one another's burdens. We don't share one another's burdens. Oh, did you hear? You know, I was at a church recently as a guest speaker, and there was a lady there that had really done some gossip stuff, and then just, I'm being straight up, she actually verbalized this to me and felt the brunt of it. And by the way, I just loved her. I mean, you know, you want to just say, oh, I can't believe. So here's the thing. So I come back, and in front of all of you, I'm telling you about her. So I'm gossiping too, right? You get it? Man, those Pharisees. Yeah, you're a Pharisee yourself. Do you realize I'm prejudiced against prejudiced people? I'm serious, man. I am a bigot. I'm a bigot against bigoted people. But he's not. I can't tolerate people who hate people. I hate people who hate people. Do you get it? I mean, the Lord woke this up to me about 20 years ago on this one. I was in the middle of a sermon series on the Pharisees. And the Lord just, again, I say the Lord spoke. Please hear me. He doesn't speak out loud. He just, thoughts come in that are smarter than me, so I know it's him. And it was like, well, you're a Pharisee. I'm like, oh, wait, I'm doing a whole series here. I'm like on the third sermon on this series. But I actually took that and ran with it because it's the truth. When I look at me, if I look at me like I'm good, ugh, I'm in trouble. If I look at me like I'm bad, ugh, I'm in trouble. That's why I don't look at me no more. I look at him. And when I stay focused on him, it becomes all about him and not about me. And man, oh man, oh man, it's cool. So let me finish this, and I apologize for... So you bear, you don't share. You bear one another. You defend one another's burdens. And that's trouble and heaviness. And that heaviness is incorporated with, again, that burden of perfection that we put on ourselves, whether it's through trying to be perfect for God in a church scenario, or try to be perfect at our job for a job scenario, or perfect in a relationship for a relationship scenario, whatever it might be, that is what this is talking about, this heaviness. And therefore, if you will bear, if you'll take and defend these guys, that trouble and heaviness, you will fulfill, you will supply and complete the law, that which literally means the command, commandment, if you want to use that word, welcome to it. The law, the command, the rule that's approved of Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. So this is saying you bear one and you're going to fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? We talked about this last week a little bit. The law of Christ is love, period. Go to everything that he said. Walk down with it on all of it. Everything that he said. Go to Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. The Sermon on the Mount. Go through all of it. He talks about it all. Divorce, you name it. Whatever poison you want to try to pick. Because it ain't poison. Because the whole thing he talks about is love. It's love. You've heard it said love your kids, but hate your neighbor. I'm telling you, you love them. You've heard it said go a mile and walk with these people. I'm telling you, you walk 2 miles with them. He pushed us. I came to fulfill the law, not to abolish it. And so I get accused of me abolishing the law. No, sir. He came to fulfill it, and he did fulfill it because he just immediately began to teach it difficulter, harder and harder and harder. Why? Because it's to show us how it's impossible that we can do life without him. We cannot do it, but he's done it. Woo, 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 and a who. So, here's my last thought. This is conclusion right here. I got one more scripture. See, it says conclusion. So you know I'm really there. Two thoughts and then the word and I'll be done. Christianity is not following the list. It's walking with Jesus. Christianity is not trying harder. It's getting closer. Listen to me. What has kept us away from getting closer to Jesus is because of our thought pattern that he is against us. Why do you think he had to say it in two different spots? Not him, I'm talking about the word say, Paul in particular. In two different spots, go boldly into the throne, boldly into the throne room. You can't go boldly into the throne room if you don't think you're wanted there. Do you hear me? How can he say that? Because of what Christ did. It's over, man. It's a complete deal. We can go boldly into the throne. Because why? Because I'm declared righteous because of Jesus. So it's not me trying hard. It's me getting closer. The only way you're going to get closer is to hang with him. The only way you're going to really start hanging with him is to understand he's for you, not against you. He loves you. Holy moly, he loves me. I tell him all the time how much I love him, and I don't know how true it is because I'm a person. I don't get it. But I can shout how much he loves me, man. I don't deserve it. That's grace. I don't get it. It's a song. I don't deserve it. I love the song. It's truth. So how do I get closer to him? Jesus, here's what Jesus said, and then I'm done. And here it comes right here. He says, remain in me. What does that mean? That means you're already there, right? Remain in me, and I'll remain in you, because a branch can't produce fruit if it's severed from the vine. Listen, you're going to hear people, I've heard people say this to you. People who used to come to church, don't attend church anymore, and you'll talk to them, and they're very sincere, and they'll say, you know what, you know, when I get my life back together, I really want to come back to church. just look at them and say, do you take a bath before you take a bath? Do you clean up before? Now, I know women, when you're going to have somebody come clean your house, you clean your house first. That's really weird. I know this one was. You know what I'm saying? Oh, we need to get somebody to come over cleaning. So what are you doing? Well, I'm cleaning up so they can clean up. Okay. Because we don't want them to think we're that messed up. But you hear what I'm saying? You don't wash. I don't take a bath before I go take a shower. You need to come where the washing machine is, right here. Washing machine. And the cool thing is, our agitator is light. You know what an agitator does. Remain in me, I remain in you. For a branch can't produce fruit if it's severed from the vine. And you can't be fruitful unless you remain in me. And you won't remain in him if you don't think he's for you. It just won't. You just won't. So, verse 5, yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. So those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. I want you to notice, I didn't bold that. I could have put that in caps. When I put stuff in caps, by the way, it's so that you can, so it yells at you. I want you to hear it. I started to put that. The produce much fruit's worn out in me. It's a natural process of this last part. Because apart from me, you can't do anything. Listen, apart from Jesus, we can't. Our minds will not work right. But here is God, Jesus God, who loves us so much and did all of this for us. He is so for me and not against me. I'm getting to the point in my life where I'm finding it hard to understand why people don't want him in their life. I'm just being very, very honest with you. Because he's the best thing that has absolutely ever happened to me. When I finally understood him as he is. I was miserable as a Christian. I was miserable as a Christian. But now that I'm a hanger-outer, so when people say, are you a Christian? Say, no, I'm a hanger-outer. Christian, the word Christian, if you want the real meaning, it literally means Christ-like. It was created back when the church first came out. The word Christian, this is what's really cool to me, was in like the days of Acts. That's where the word Christian came from. So that's really cool because people from the outside were looking at these people going, man, he's like Christ. They're like Christ. We've created Christian into being some kind of a Gallup poll so that we can say, hey, I'm a Christian. Well, no. You got to be Christ-like. What does that mean? To be Christ-like is to love. I can be that. It's that simple, period. Stop right there. Because incorporated in that is everything in life. Honest to goodness, it really is. How great he is, how not great I am. And as many times as I say that, I can't tell you the freedom in that for this kid. I am free to not be perfect because I find perfection in him and I stay in him. I am one of my favorite scriptures. I am the righteousness of God, the Bible says, in Christ. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. If I'm over here, I can try to be, act like, no, sir, I'm the righteous in Christ. Matthew 6:33, we all know it. Seek him first and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Literally means, and your life will fall into place. That's where rest is. When you can understand who Jesus is and how he is so much for you, not against you, you can rest in knowing no matter what comes your way, no matter what, from the death of my daughter to the happiness of winning $20 on a scratch-off. No matter what happens, okay. I can rest in the fact that he loves me, I'm accepted by him, and he wants me to love other people, the ones that I didn't want to love before. Amen? Okay, I'm done.
The Barnett Consulting Group said that everybody makes a living by selling something. And what that means to me is this. Somebody's going to profit off of what you'll believe. If you believe their opinion's right, they're going to get more likes, they're going to get more hits, they're going to go viral, somebody's going to start advertising with them because you're in agreement with their beliefs. If you believe that your life is not fulfilled until you have white teeth, you're going to buy that product. But guys, these things are illusions. And an illusion is this. It is a deceptive appearance or impression. And the fact is, it is an illusion that you are going to be accepted if you believe what the world is teaching. That's an illusion. It's deceptive. But here's what the Word of God says about the illusion. And this is out of 1 Corinthians 3:18 in the Passion Translation. So why fool yourself and live under an illusion? Make no mistake about it. If anyone thinks he is wise by the world's standards, he will be made wiser by being a fool for God. For what the world says is wisdom is actually foolishness in God's eyes. As it is written, the cleverness of the know-it-alls becomes the trap that ensnares them. And again, the Lord sees right through the clever reasonings of the wise and knows that it's all a sham. Because people believe if the majority agrees with something, it's okay. It's not the majority that needs to agree. The world wants to turn the teaching against the Word of God. My Bible's on here. So the Word of God is what I have to go by. This is my standard. This keeps me from falling in line with illusions. You're going to be loved if you do this. The reason you're not loved is because you need to do this. What does His Word say? That's where I'm going to find love. And we're going to find it today. We're going to find it today right inside of us because that's where He lives. I just want to ask you this morning, are you carrying a burden about having to live a certain way? Are you carrying a burden because you're worried about someone else who's living a certain way? If you are, would you just stand with me? And I want to pray that that burden's going to come off of you. Whether it is for you or someone else, we're going to believe today. There is so much faith in this room because you are believing that God's going to do what He says in your life, and I'm going to agree with you. This past week has been so wonderful for me because I'm seeing God answer prayers for people I've been carrying burdens for. I don't care what you think about Dennis Rodman. I love him. I have been praying for Dennis Rodman for years, and I've wept for him, and I got to see him on a video now talking about how he loves and how he's been loved, and he still has the same earrings and the same tattoos, but there was a soul that wanted to be loved, and I'm so happy because I know he found love. The faith that you have in standing is going to be rewarded. We're going to pray. Those of you who are still sitting, I want you just to begin to pray with these people who are standing. Your burdens are going, and God's going to make a difference in the people you're believing for. We're going to stand in agreement for that right now to happen. Lord, we say right now, according to Your Word, that it is not by might and it is not by power, but it is by Your Spirit. Send Your Spirit out right now, God, to go with these brave ones, to give them, God, the courage to continue to believe, Lord, and not waver with the illusion that they will be accepted if. If is a sinking, shifting sand, God, but You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank You for consistency in our lives, Lord. Move by Your Spirit, Lord, on the hearts of these. Give wisdom, God. Touch those, God, that we're burdened for. Let the illusions of this world, God, be broken off and the pressure to perform that we might rest in the fact that Your love never fails. Can you just say this prayer after me? Love us today, God. Love us today, God. Love in me. Love through me. because your love never fails. And thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe for you. Look for a difference.